your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David Britton of the Stardome Observatory there in the Domain.
Planetarium.
The Domain. One Tree Hill.
Yeah, hi.
How are you? Can you hear us? Can you hear us clearly? Are we loud enough?
I am. I'm always loud.
You're good now. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay, great that we're all loud enough. Now, David, what are we kicking things off with today? What is our first topic of Spaced Out for this week?
Well, I thought there's been a bit in the news about the Parker Space Probe that's on its way to the sun. This has been a project in the making for quite a while. Some people might have, in the weekend, tried to watch the live launch on Saturday night, like myself, and got disappointed because the thing got put off after they had a couple of glitches that finally went on Sunday night. This is a spacecraft that's going closer to the sun than any other craft has ever gone.
Hang on, is it shooting something at the sun as it goes past, like a probe?
I wouldn't pick a fight with the sun.
It's very much hands up, protecting itself where it's going is just so incredibly hostile.
Mm.
I mean, it's going much closer to the sun than Mercury is, and on the sunward side of Mercury, lead would melt.
Okay.
Okay, so you're talking well over 400 degrees on the surface of Mercury, and this probe is going much closer to the sun than that.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's really aiming to do is not just get a close-up look at it, but to measure and discover what's going on with what's called the corona. This is the atmosphere of the sun. As the sun radiates heat, it also sends off a solar wind of atomic particles.
That's those cool things that kind of look like they spew and bubble off and like sprawl out real gnarly looking, yeah?
No, those are like flames. Those are called prominences or flares. The solar wind is much less dense than that, and it goes through the whole solar system. It passes the Earth, and it's going the whole time. I mean, it'll increase and decrease. But when you see those gnarly things, those are prominence of flares, not much closer to the sun.
Oh, I thought that was all part of the corona.
Yeah.
Okay.
The surface of the sun's about 5,500 degrees Celsius, but the corona, the atmosphere, is over 1,000,000 degrees. And so part of the thing is to find out why or how the corona can be so much hotter than the surface of the sun. I mean, you think of our atmosphere, the air above the Earth is cooler than the surface, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is to get a better handle on what the sun's going to be doing in the future. At the moment, the sun's at what's called solar minimum. The sun has an 11-year cycle where it's very quiet. It gets more and more active. There are solar storms. It gets pretty nasty. And then it all calms down again. That takes an 11 years to go through one cycle. So it's going there at the beginning of solar minimum. And 7 years' time at the end of its mission, solar maximum should have just passed. So it'll be there for the build-up and the most active part of the sun cycle. But to get there, it's going to be going real fast because the sun is so massive, it's got a huge amount of gravity, of course. So it will be going at the end of its mission because it's going to go around the sun 24 times.
Mm. Yeah.
It'll be traveling at 690,000 kilometers per hour.
Mint. Hey, will time slow down for it when it gets close to the sun?
No, it's not going fast enough for relativistic effects that from Einstein to kick in, I'm afraid.
Okay.
But it's still 192 kilometers every second.
Yep, that's,
okay, so
that's
it'll
quite
be
a few.
Probably faster than
any
my scooter.
Man-made thing ever.
The fastest man-made thing ever, did you say?
When it
reaches that speed.
Spacecraft is doing this, nothing has gone that fast ever.
How will everything on it work if it's going that fast? How do they know that things will still operate on the probe?
Well, I mean, it's traveling through space, so it's just going like a comet around the sun, and comets are dirty snowballs. Okay. They survive okay.
Mm.
But to protect itself from the heat, it's got a heat shield. It's about 11.5 centimeters thick. made of special advanced carbon composite material. So where it's going to be, the sun-facing side will be nearly 1,400 degrees Celsius.
Mm.
But that shield will keep the back part of the spacecraft at about 30 degrees.
Okay.
So it'll always have that shield facing the sun to protect it. If it didn't have that, it would be destroyed pretty quickly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the next topic we've got is kind of cryptic, David. If Earth turned into an enormous heap of blueberries, ...
Well, it's not cryptic, it's actually...
Wait, that sounds delicious. Everyone, can we...
What would happen if the Earth turned into a large pile of blueberries?
Probably a big stain in the cosmos.
Exactly, a big blue stain. this is a serious paper to a semi-serious question, and just sort of putting it out there, okay, let's apply physics and so on. What would happen if you replaced instantaneously the Earth with an equal volume of uncompressed blueberries? So you've got to make a few rules here about, are they squished blueberries and all that sort of thing.
How ripe are the blueberries?
So in fact, what would happen is there'd be an immediate reduction of gravity, because obviously blueberries aren't as dense as dirt. So your weight would drop by 87%. So if you weighed 68 kilograms, you'd instantaneously turn into a 9-kilogram person.
Who posed this question?
A guy called Sandberg.
How come he's allowed to ask weird questions like that, and they get traction like to the point where we're talking about
it? That's the problem.
It sounds like he's combining magic and science together, if you ask me.
Sounds like he's got the good shit.
No one's saying that. So anyway, the next thing that happened, all the air between the blueberries would be would rush to the surface because the gravity is going to squeeze all those blueberries, and so the huge air pressure of these huge bubbles bursting through the surface would actually fling matter out into space.
Well, it'd fling blueberries, wouldn't it?
So where you're standing would be huge geysers, would be the worst earthquakes ever, and the whole planet would fall down to something about 800 kilometers across. It's going to be hugely small compared.
It would also make the planet quite expensive on off seasons.
Yeah. everything's going to heat up because the gravity's going to squeeze all that. It'll be a boiling jam and steam. So basically you'd have a steam atmosphere over an ocean of jam.
That actually sounds
blueberry granita at the middle.
Delicious ocean of jam.
Yep.
How bizarre. Now, there's been 44 alien planets discovered recently.
What?
Just one more thing from that little thing, though, is the result.
We're kind of on a big blueberry, aren't we?
Reduced gravity of the Earth, the moon would actually zoom off into space.
That's the saddest part of that whole story, actually. The moon would be like that. I'm more of a strawberry fan. It's cancer.
You look up into space and you just see the moon getting smaller and smaller.
The moon turns into a comet.
Poor little blood bugger, the moon, eh?
It's just 44 planets have been discovered around the other stars, we've just added 44 to the total.
Just on the word alien, I'm getting hung up on, because I think when you say that, people are like, there's little green men on these planets. Well, but is it just because we don't know what it is we're calling it alien?
The correct term that we use is extrasolar.
That feels better. That feels a lot better. Let's go there. Because alien planet is just like, Mars attacks, sweet.
Okay, that's fine. I thought I'd use alien because all the extrasolar sounded a bit poncy.
No, but this is a factual radio station, David. I think we trust in our listeners and we give them. Yeah, no, let's do that. Let's call it what it is.
Okay,
I think,
extrasolar tabs. Anyway, the total for those now is nearly 4,000. So 3,819 extrasolar planets.
Wow.
We've got 8 planets now, solar systems. So that's hundreds of other solar systems that we know about so far. So
we've spied
that'll change over the years, especially when the James Webb Telescope is launched. But that now isn't going to be until at least 2020.
Mm.
It's been put off yet again, unfortunately.
Okay. Best not to rush these things, I guess.
Now, the US are up to no good in space, by the sounds of things.
Oh, Space Force. Where do I sign for that? Fuck me.
Well, you might remember a few weeks ago I mentioned President Trump saying he wants to have a space force.
disgusting.
And people are saying, oh, he's just mouthing off and so on. No, well, now Vice President Mike Pence has actually outlined more specific actions. A U.S. Space Command, they have to come up with space war fighting doctrine, tactics, techniques, and procedures. An elite group of joint war fighters, a new military astronaut corps, all this sort of thing.
Sounds expensive. Cool.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. But basically they're saying, look, space is a war fighting domain, just like land, sea, and air. So a lot of people do disagree with that entirely, because up until now space has been regarded as
not the banks.
That's for everyone, and peaceful. Sure, space is used for reconnaissance, you know, taking photographs and monitoring and all that sort of thing.
But I guess a lot of drones are fired off from information they get from satellites, so,
I think, you know, one thing they're worried about is, okay, you've got a satellite up there that's monitoring something. What if an enemy sent up and blew up your monitoring satellite so you don't know what's going on? I think it's as much protective as anything. But the interesting thing is that Trump can't do anything about it. Only Congress has the authority to establish a new branch of the military.
Okay.
And the last time that actually happened was when the U.S. Air Force was started in 1947.
Okay, so it's kind of a bit of a long shot, maybe just a bit of posturing.
Possibly. Yeah. Possibly he might be just playing to his supporters.
Space Force.
I think this is always a case of just watch the other hand. When one hand is doing something really whack,
Be right there.
Yeah.
Now, what's happening at the Stardome, David?
Well, tomorrow we don't have any school groups coming to Stardome because all the teachers for primary and intermediate schools are on strike. So the ones who had booked had to rebook for other days. So what we're doing is, you know, for parents who are a little bit at a loss of what to do with kids who are suddenly at home, come along to Stardome. We're doing our weekend program tomorrow as an extra set of shows at 11, 12, 1 and 2 o'clock. So the shows there are Little Star That Could, Solar System Odyssey, Perfect Little Planet, and the 2 o'clock one is Super Volcanoes. So it's $12 for adults and $10 for children. Booking would be a good idea, either online or by ringing up at reception.
Right on.
Cool. Mad About Mars, was there something?
Yeah, well, Mars, we've had this big Mars season, and we passed the close approach, but Mars is still big and bright and pretty big. The big dust storm that was covering the planet is gradually fading, which is good. So people can still come along from Wednesday to Saturday night, 8 o'clock, look through the large telescope. It's $5 a head. You don't have to book for that, just buy your ticket at reception. There's the normal shows and so on going on, of course, but the Zeiss telescope till the end of August, we've got this special deal of $5 per person. So it starts at 8 o'clock, goes till late. There's no particular time that we finish. It just depends on what the sky's doing and how many people want to look at it.
Nice.
Fantastic. All right, David, thank you very much. Everyone out there, head along to the Stardome Observatory there in One Tree Hill.
Thank you very much, and it's nice to have a nice, loud session today.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Much better, right?
It's not very often that people say that I'm too quiet.
Right, yeah.
So. Thanks, mate. Always a pleasure.
See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.